Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Daryl Mosley grew up in Waverly, a small town in Tennessee, where he still resides, but he has toured many places and played with many people throughout his musical career. He helped form the band New Tradition before joining the legendary Osborne Brothers in 2001. From there, he helped form the Farmhands in 2010 before launching out on his solo career in 2020 and his debut record on Pinecastle, The Secret of Life. Daryl is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, Daryl. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us today. Glad we could make this happen in this busy, busy world we've got going on around us right now.
Yes, no doubt.
So you are in, do I have this right, Waverly, Tennessee?
Waverly, Tennessee. Yeah. Waverly is about an hour west of Nashville, right off of I-40.
Okay, all right. And you grew up there?
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life. And one of the unique things of our little place is that because we're an hour from Nashville and an hour from Jackson, Tennessee, which is the next bigger city, you know, we're a little bit isolated. It's not really convenient to live here and work in the big towns like a lot of people do in bedroom communities. So we're still, you know, things haven't changed that much around here over the years. You still see, you know, kids on their bikes down the sidewalk and, you know, that sort of thing. It's a pretty laid-back area, very Mayberry-like.
Yeah, yeah, and you grew up there, right?
Yeah, born and raised out here.
Okay. How did music become a thing for you in a small town like that, kind of isolated away from the rest of the world, like you said?
Well, you know, my mom, she sang and played guitar when I was a kid. Mom's a little bitty lady, had this big Connie Smith kind of voice, you know, played guitar.
Uh-huh.
And she would play and sing at church and that sort of thing. But so when I was an early teenager, I started learning to play on her guitar. But one thing we do have in our little county here is Loretta Lynn's ranch. Loretta Lynn has lived here for many, many years.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
In fact, I was in first grade with her twin daughters. I've known the family
wow.
my whole life.
Okay.
And so when I was a teenager, I went to work as my summer job singing out at her ranch.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so that was my first taste of being on stage and learning how to sing in front of an audience and what makes a good show and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So as your career moved forward, you really began to embrace songwriting. When did you feel like that was something you wanted to pursue?
You know, it's funny. I was working out at the ranch and got a chance to visit Loretta on several occasions. And, you know, this was probably in the late 70s, early 80s when she was just, you know, as huge as she could be. And she was always so wonderful to me and really warm and encouraging and, but I'll never forget a conversation I had with her at the house one day. She said, because she knew I wanted to be in music. And she said, darling, did you write songs? And I said, no, I don't. And she says, well, honey, you need to learn to write. She said, a lot of people can sing them, but the good ones can write them too.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. So I really started at that point pursuing the craft and learning how to, you know, what makes a good song and really started trying to think in that direction. And that truly can change my life.
Yeah. Huh. What, have you been full time kind of in the music business from that point forward, or did you do some other things before music became a career?
Yeah, I mean, I did some other things out of, you know, right out of high school and college, but in about 1989, I was actually put a band together, New Tradition, and with Danny Roberts, Danny Close is with the Grascals, and we put that band together back then, and so all through the 90s, we were doing, you know, 150, 160 dates a year with that band. So from about, you know, 1989 or 90 you know, on. Music has basically been what I've done.
Yeah. Were you writing a lot of the songs for the New Tradition Band?
I was. And that was great because none of those guys were writers.
Okay.
And so when we needed a song, I just write one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were really encouraging as far as, you know, encouraging me to write and to create stuff for the band. And I didn't know if any of it was any good. You know, I've looked back on it now and realized that a lot of that stuff's held up pretty well.
Yeah,
I'm pretty proud of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have a writing process, some sort of formula you follow? Every songwriter seems to kind of have this different answer to that question. What is it for you when you get the inspiration to write a song? What does that look like?
You know, sometimes especially if I'm writing by myself, you know, I've always explained it. It's almost like trying to remember a song you used to know.
Hmm.
You know, I'll start kind of singing it, you know, or I'll have some of the words and not all of them. And it's almost like the song is just outside of your reach and you're having to really stretch to kind of pull it back in. But like, it's almost like the song was already there. So a lot of times, you know, it's just a matter of sitting down long enough to do that.
Right.
I always keep on my phone. It used to be a notebook. It's phone now, of course. I used to always keep a list of ideas and things.
Uh-huh.
And so when I'm co-writing, you know, we'll pull out those ideas and kind of see what strikes a chord with everybody.
Do you have a season or a time of the week, or is it structured, or do you just kind of, when you get the inspiration, you sit down and write it?
Well, the co-writing stuff is a little bit more structured just because, you know, trying to get everybody's schedules together.
Uh-huh.
And so that process is a little different because we will sit down with toss around some ideas and kind of start from scratch, both of us, you know, and that sort of thing. But beyond that, no, for the most part, it'll just kind of comes when it comes. I try to police myself, to, you know, discipline myself to play guitar every day, to spend some time with the guitar in my lap, and just working on musical ideas, melody ideas, and that sort of thing. And lots of times songs will be born out of that.
Uh-huh.
But it does require the discipline of actually sitting down on a daily basis and thinking like a songwriter.
Yeah. Now, you've had other people record your music as well, right?
Yeah. It's been great. You know, country artists like, you know, Lynn Anderson and, you know, Bobby Osborne, Josh Williams and Bluegrass.
Yeah.
Probably the most successful thing I did was a Southern gospel group, the Booth Brothers, recorded a song I wrote that was actually made the list as one of the top 30 Southern gospel songs of all time.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Do you write songs specifically for an artist, or do you have the collection that you've written and just pitch them, or do they ask for songs? How does that process work when you're writing for somebody else?
Actually, it's all of the above. I mean, sometimes I have written songs. I wrote a song that we recorded with New Tradition years ago called Prodigal Son, and that was always one of Josh Williams' favorite songs. And so when he recorded the solo album, he recorded that one.
Okay.
There's Carolina Blue, Bluegrass Band Carolina Blue has recorded a song of mine on their new album. And that actually came from Bobby Powell and I, who were friends. You know, we were talking, and he's like, "Man, I wish you would write us something for the new record."
Okay, cool.
And so I sat down and was listening to their music and tried to write something that kind of fit what they did.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've done some of that too.
When you write songs, how do you decide, hey, I'm going to do this one, this one's mine, versus, you know what, I think I like the song, but it probably suits so-and-so better? Do you have that forethought to realize that you want to hang on to one for yourself?
Sometimes, especially because, you know, when I was writing for the bands that I was in, there would be something that I knew this was our kind of song. This
uh-huh.
is something I knew that we would want to put out. Other times, you know, I've written things and I say, you know, it's a good song. I'm proud of the song, but it doesn't necessarily fit my style or our style.
Right.
And so those are a little bit more of a free agent when it comes to, you know, pitching those out.
Yeah. Okay. So you formed the band New Tradition, and at some point, I guess 2009, 2010, did that band dissolve, or did you just leave and move on to your next project?
I left New Tradition initially in about 2000. We had we were so busy, but when I joined the band back 10 years prior, you know, I was married, but I didn't have any children.
Uh-huh.
10 years later, I had three.
Okay.
And, you know, and I was missing all the cool band stuff, you know, and we were gone a lot. And I just thought, you know, I don't want to be gone so much. And so I left the band thinking that I was probably done as a performer, that
wow.
I was probably just writing up at the end of it. Uh-huh. But about a year after I was out of the band, Tim Graves called me, and he had gone to work with the Osmond Brothers. Gene Wooten, who was their dobro player, had passed away, and Tim was playing dobro, and they had lost their bass player, harmony singer. And Sonny said, "Do you know anybody that plays bass and harmony might want a job?" And Tim says, "I know one guy, but he's off the road. I don't know if he would be interested." But
mm-hmm.
anyway, long story short, I ended up joining the Osmond Brothers and stayed with them, well, until Sonny retired, and then stayed with Bobby until Tim and I started the Farmhands back in 2010.
Okay, okay. And is that band no longer together? The Farmhands?
The Farmhands? You know, no. They I think they're still playing. I mean, I left them in September of this past year. Tim is one of these guys who, you know, and we jokingly said, you know, he would play 365 days a year if he could string them close enough together. You know,
yeah.
I've never known anybody that loves. Maybe Willie Nelson loves the road more than Tim.
Yeah. Okay.
But. And as much as I loved to play and perform, you know, I really wanted to focus also on writing, and there was so much writing I wanted to do and co-writing I wanted to do,
uh-huh.
things that I just couldn't do on that schedule. And so,
yeah.
So last September, you know, I left, and they replaced me with a couple of people.
Okay,
And that's when I started really focusing on getting the solo album out and start figuring out my next stage.
So this is really your first solo project as a under your name as a headliner, right?
It really is. You know, I had never really thought about it. I was always happier in a band, and,
mm-hmm.
and of course, I'm, you know, putting a band together to do the festivals and things that, like I've always done, you know, that will be my band. But yeah, this is the first time I've actually released something on a, you know, nationwide or worldwide scale with my name on it instead of a band's name. It's a little unusual for me.
Yeah. Will the band have a name?
I'm sure eventually. I haven't really decided on anything yet, but yeah, I'm sure we will eventually.
Yeah. So what will it look like to get out on the road once the world lets us out again? Do you have hopefully a schedule planned? Or are you still in the planning stages of what kind of performance schedule you guys will have?
Well, I've done a lot of work, solo work, since I left the Farmhands. Just, you know, just me and a guitar, songwriter festivals and songwriter, you know, little theaters and churches and that sort of thing. So I've done a lot of that anyway, and I continue to do that. The band, those dates will primarily be bluegrass festivals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the record, the new album is called The Secret of Life. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when is it out? Is it out now?
No, it actually the first single is out. The album gets released on the 22nd of May.
Okay, so we're late April when we're recording this. So about a month then. Yeah, tell me a little bit about this record. What I presume that all or most of them are songs that you've written.
It's all songs I've written, and it's a little bit of an anthology because what I wanted to do was. But to reach back into the catalog and pull out a few songs that I had recorded in years past that
mm-hmm.
that had either, you know, been out of print or been otherwise kind of unavailable for a long time, and then the other half of the album is all new songs. And so one of the first things I did was I brought in Danny Roberts. Danny, you know, from New Tradition days, I brought Danny in to co-produce with me.
Okay.
And it's the first time Danny and I had been in the studio together in over 20 years.
Wow.
And it was great. He's just an incredible producer. He's always loved the studio, and he's got a great ear for it. And
and
I knew we were good enough friends that, you know, the gloves would be off. Nobody was worried about, you know, saying I don't like it this way or what do you think about this.
Yeah,
he's really comfortable. And so there's no doubt that the record is better than I even dreamed it would be. And a lot of that is because Danny was there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And this is in the bluegrass genre, correct?
Yeah, I mean it's not bluegrass in the stereotypical sense. It's very acoustic. You know, there's lots of, you know, fiddle and dobro and, of course, acoustic guitar and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some straight-ahead bluegrass songs on it, but there's also some really, you know, acoustic country, you know, middle-of-the-road kind of stuff.
Do you have a target date, presuming that, again, the world gets back to normal soon, when you guys will hit the road with this?
Well, the plan is to we'll be performing hopefully at IBMA convention, which will be late September, early October. The biggest, I guess, the largest target date as far as festivals will be 2021. So many of this year's have canceled anyway,
right?
And so, you know, we're kind of shooting for next year being the big festival year.
What will you do personally in between? Is writing music take up enough time for you that's kind of what you get to focus on now?
Well, I'm doing, of course, a lot of that. Once the, assuming the world opens back up and it's reasonably similar to what we left, you know, I'll still go back to doing some of the solo dates and the songwriter shows and that sort of thing. I'll still do those and really enjoy those too. So I'm hoping that at least by fall I'll be back doing that as well.
Yeah. Do you have something on your musical bucket list that you're still looking forward to, something that you haven't quite accomplished yet that's on the horizon or in the something that you're looking towards that you still would like to really see that happen?
You know, it's funny. There's lots of things I think I would love to do again just because I didn't appreciate it as much the first time.
Okay.
If that makes sense. The very first bluegrass festival I ever played, that I was ever attended, I actually performed. The very first time I was inside the Ryman Auditorium, I was playing the Grand Ole Opry. The very first time I was inside the Bluebird, I was doing a songwriter's round.
Wow.
You know, and as much as I loved it at the time, you look back on that and you realize that, you know, what these wonderful, iconic experiences. And so that's, I think, as much as anything else, I'm looking forward to playing the Opry again and playing the Bluebird again and hopefully appreciating it from a new vantage point.
Yeah, I like that perspective. I would guess that's not an answer a lot of people would think of. So I like that. That's cool. So the new record again is The Secret of Life, coming out May 22nd, I think you said. Where can people get it? How can they reach out to you, get in touch, maybe find some of your earlier catalog stuff?
Sure. Of course, Pinecastle Records is a label, so it'll be through all of the regular you know, outlets that, you know, Amazon, all of that stuff. They can also always get any of my stuff directly through my website, which is just darylmosley.com. And so any of the old stuff that I've got available is available through my website as well.
So you've got older catalog stuff there too with the New Tradition and the Farmhands and those types of things. Yeah. Yeah.
The New Tradition stuff's hard to get because it's out of print. Some of the Farmhand stuff I can still get, obviously. But,
yeah.
And I've got, you know, there's an album that I did of a gospel album from a few years ago of songs that I had written that's available. It was never released on a national scale. It was just something that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I do have all that.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Daryl. This has been great, and I appreciate your time, and best of luck with the new record.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the support, and thanks again. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.